Je suis pas tout seul à être tout seul. Ça fait déjà ça de moins dans la tête. Et si je comptais combien on est? Beaucoup. Tout ce à quoi j'ai déjà pensé. Dire que plein d'autres y ont déjà pensé. Mais malgré tout, je me sens tout seul. Du coup, j'ai parfois eu des pensées suicidaires, j'en suis peu fier. On croit parfois que c'est la seule manière de les faire taire. Ces pensées qui me font vivre un enfer. Ces pensées qui me font vivre un enfer. Qu'il y a que moi qui ai la télé et la chaîne culpabilité. Mais faut bien se changer les idées. Pas trop quand même, sinon ça repart vite dans la tête. Et c'est trop tard pour que ça s'arrête. C'est là que j'aimerais tout oublier. Du coup, j'ai parfois eu des pensées suicidaires et j'en suis peu fier. On croit parfois que c'est la seule manière de les faire taire. Ces pensées qui me font vivre un enfer. Ces pensées qui me font vivre un enfer. Et je sais vraiment pas quoi faire de toi. Justement, réfléchir, c'est bien le problème avec toi. Tu sais, j'ai mûrement réfléchi. Et je sais vraiment pas quoi faire de toi. Justement, réfléchir, c'est bien le problème avec toi.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Working Title. Cleo was just telling us about a new heist story that happened on this day, the day that we're recording it, literally over 50, what was it? Six? It's like, what, 70 years ago now? Well, you said 1950?
1950, yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Very crazy. And yeah, up until that point, it was the largest robbery in the history of the United States, and it stayed as that title until 1984. So it was a big heist, and they took cash, like quite a bit of cash, but they also took checks and money orders and other kind of securities or whatever. And it was very skillfully executed, and it was billed as, according to Wikipedia, the crime of the century at the time. So. And I guess it says that 10 of the 11 men were later arrested.
Oh my God. So one got away.
One got away. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see what
well, it says. He definitely sold out the other guys.
First, like you had.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way they catch all of them, but one without that one telling them everything.
Like everything that happened. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so the main man, I suppose, was Joseph Big Joe McGinnis.
Okay.
And he was the like originator of the heist.
The bastard.
And he brought in Joseph Specs O'Keefe, Anthony Pino, who also had a nickname, Anthony Fats. You know, they all have like,
oh my God, no, they all, I was gonna say, they all sound like they're part of a heist crew.
I know. And yeah, so the plan basically was that Specs and Gus, or his name was Stanley Gusicora, but he went by Gus, and so they secretly entered the Brinks Depot. They picked the outside lock with an ice pick and the inner door with a piece of plastic.
Very well.
And then they later removed the cylinders from the five locks one at a time so that a locksmith could make duplicate keys for them.
Oh, wow.
And so once that was done, Pino or Fats recruited seven other men, including his brother-in-law. And, you know, many, one of them's nickname is Jazz. Yeah, they all have like, you know, funny nicknames, except this one guy, Joseph Banfield, which bets are that he's the one that ratted them out because he didn't get a cool nickname.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There you go. Joseph was jealous.
He was like, they never really accepted me into the gang. And I just felt like an outsider the whole time. So betray them. And you know what? Respect. I understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically Pino like studied all the schedules and was able to kind of determine what the staff was doing based on when the lights in the buildings were on. And O'Keefe and Gus stole the plans for the site alarms to know like where and when they would go off. Cool. And they also entered the building on practice runs after the staff had left for the day. And they 1950 like
security in a nutshell.
I know, like nothing.
Like, yeah, they just locked on after hours because nobody was there because it was after hours.
The locks and made duplicate keys in the locks, and the locksmith never questioned anything.
Exactly. Right? Like, oh, what are they? You need? What do you need these keys for?
I know it really was like you could just lie about anything.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Right. Exactly. Like literally, it's like I watch Mad Men and I'm literally like, yeah, they literally, he's like, of course his wife has no idea where he is. How would she?
It's
it's crazy.
I know. I always think that John Mulaney bit where he's talking about how easy it was to get away with crime. And he's like, and if anyone asks, tell them it was Bold and Joe and the Suggins gang.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like they were literally trying to get you to remember them.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, this is our jam. Like, this is what we do. This is who we are. Like, appreciate our art form. But yeah, anyway, they took 2 years to kind of train and plan the heist before it actually happened. So they took a long while of prep.
Cool.
And then eventually on January 17th of 1950, after six aborted attempts, which is unbelievable. They tried this. And
wait, they tried it six times, aborted, six and times. Then no one figured it out?
Literally. Like, Jesus, what the heck? Christ. Yeah.
It's like, and this is a show. This went down as the biggest heist in history up until that point. It's like,
up to that point. Yeah, it's the biggest robbery in the United States, which is unreal.
Unreal.
So after six failed attempts, they decide that, you know, they're going to really go for it. Uh-huh. And they dressed in, you know, similar clothing to the uniforms of the workers there. And then they also had rubber Halloween masks, gloves, and rubber-soled shoes.
Yeah.
And so two of them remained in the gateway truck. And then the seven other men entered the building at 6:55. PM.
Okay.
So they take their keys. They come to the second floor through the doors and surprised, bound, and gagged five of the Brinks employees who were storing and counting money.
Classic.
And they failed to open the storage box containing the payroll of
All the employees there.
Yeah, of the General Electric Company's Linworks, which is like. They said it was due to precautions that included moving the exterior portion of the lock from the box before transport, but they scooped up everything else basically. Yeah, and they walked out at 7:30. They had taken money and four revolvers from the employees. And they rapidly counted everything and gave some of the members their cuts and then just scattered to establish their alibis.
Oh, wow.
So very like just in and out real, like no messing around. Just like boom, boom. We're taking the money. We're getting out of here.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I'm saying I can't wait to see how this ended up going poorly for them because it seemed like nobody cared that they were taking this money.
I know. Anyway.
Before we continue with that, we're gonna have two more songs for you guys. I love the name of this band, Cowboy Junkies.
Yes, right? Yeah.
Oh my God. So we got the first song we got up is Cowboy Junkies, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And then we got I Love a Good Frontman and the Bandmates, St. Paul and the Broken Bones. And the song is called Minotaur.
Yes. Yeah, the Cowboy Junkies are, I think they're from Toronto. And that's a cover. But it's a, yeah, it's a very, like, I feel like it would be nice for looking out a snowy window. It's nice and sad. And St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Cool. Cool. All right. Well, don't touch that dial. You're sitting right here with some work and title.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to Working Title here on CGLO, 1690 AM. I realize I haven't said 1690 AM at all this show, have I? Or did I say it at the beginning? I just realized.
I think maybe you said it at the beginning.
Yeah, I just realized. Yeah, we're on 1690 AM in case you haven't heard it. So Cleo, so they had just walked out of the Burke's armored depot.
Yes, they're divvying up the money and then they're taking off and going their separate ways. And so Brink's company offered $100,000 reward for any information. And the only clues that the police could initially find were rope that they used to tie up the employees and a cap. And their informants initially proved to be like useless, and the truck that the robbers had used was found cut to pieces in another part of Massachusetts.
Yeah, so these guys were like really trying to cover
they
their
were
tracks.
Doing it. Yeah, like they did like a clean in and out. To be fair, like 2 years of prep for figuring
they
out
were
how
planning,
to do
and they tried it six times and they weren't caught then. Yeah,
I know. Still
I'd be pretty confident. Yeah.
In June of 1950, O'Keefe and Gus, who were, I believe, the ones that were in the car. They picked the outside lock the ice pick to make the keys.
Yeah.
And they also stole the plans for the site alarms. So they were kind of, I think, two of the more involved ones. They got arrested in Pennsylvania for a burglary.
Okay.
And one of them, O'Keefe, was sentenced to 3 years in prison, and Gus to 5 to 20 years in the state penitentiary.
Oh my God. And why'd they get such vastly different sentences?
I know, like very weird. Maybe like they had kind of one of them had a history, the other didn't.
Saying either has a history or one of them is black is my only explanation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like there's no, like back then too, I'm saying like that. Like that makes crazy sense. 3 years versus 20 in the penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That's really intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the police ended up hearing through informants that they had both demanded money from two of the other guys in the robbery to fight their convictions. And like to use for their legal defense.
Yeah,
so they made contact, which I guess was a mistake. The FBI tried to talk to both of them, but they pleaded ignorance, basically.
Yeah.
Other members of the group came under suspicion that there wasn't enough evidence to indict them, and they just kind of kept pressure on them. One of them was convicted and sentenced to 9 months for tax evasion.
See, that's it. It's like they knew they did it, but they couldn't prove that they did it. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Other
stuff. And so... Uh-huh. O'Keefe was released and taken to trial for another burglary, and his bail was set. And he later claimed that he'd never seen his portion of the loot after he'd given it to one of the guys for safekeeping. Mm-hmm. And so apparently in need of money, he kidnapped one of the other guys and demanded his part of the loot for ransom.
Oh, wow.
And then he, one of them paid a small ransom and then decided to try and kill O'Keefe. So like the other guy that he was working with decided to try to kill O'Keefe.
Yeah.
And then he ended up hiring a hitman.
Oh my God.
Whose name was Elmer Trigger Burke to kill O'Keefe. And he traveled to Boston and he shot him, but he failed to kill him.
Like Elmer, I don't care how cool your hitman nickname is.
Your name
Elmer.
Is always Elmer.
Exactly.
He tried to get away from it so hard. He was like, I need to make my own life. I'm going to be a hitman. Nobody's going to make fun of me anymore. And they were just like, Elmer, babe. I feel like if Jason Statham, like in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoke Barrels or something, like they would just sit around and like make fun of him for being called Elmer.
Yeah,
and it would
Elmer.
Be hilarious.
Oh, God. That's so funny.
So O'Keefe was in the hospital. The FBI come to him 6 years later, and he decided to talk. And then January 12th, just 5 days before the statute of limitations was to run out, they arrested Baker, Costa, Geegan, Maffey, McGinnis, and Pino. And then they apprehended two others on May 16th in Dorchester, and O'Keefe pleaded guilty January 18th. And all of them were paroled by 1971, except one who died in prison.
Oh, wow.
And O'Keefe received 4 years and was released in 1960.
Yeah.
And only $58,000 of the $2.7 million was recovered.
Yeah, see, so these guys went to jail and did their time, but they straight up got away with it.
They
like,
still, yeah.
Like, they, the money wasn't recovered, you know? And no. they, oh my God, and they still got to, like, walk, you know, on parole and stuff.
Yeah, truly, like, they really didn't have that bad of a... And they were crazy. Careless afterwards. Like, they were still doing crimes and, like, robbing other people
crazy.
Everything. And they basically got away with it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't even imagine, like, you get away with that and then you, like, continue to...
Just go.
To just, like, go and like, make yourself a target.
I guess it's maybe literally, it's confidence, too. Like, you got away with it, so you're like, I can get away with anything.
Well, it's literally, it's literally what happened to Jordan Belfort, right? The Wolf of Wall Street. Where it's like, you know, they wouldn't have caught him if it wasn't for the fact that he went back, you know? It's like, and that's it, right? It's just, it's always the greed. It's always that little extra pushing the envelope, right?
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy.
And they made a few movies based off of it and stuff like that. One's called like Six Bridges to Cross. One's called Brinks, The Great Robbery.
Okay.
And all of them are pretty old, like 50s to, I think the last one was 78. But
I can imagine that if it was the crime of the century, you know, Hollywood was all over it.
It was interesting that it was 11 guys. I was like, I wonder if any inspiration for Ocean's
11. Ocean's 11, right? Yeah, you're right, eh? I didn't even think about that.
You never know, but yeah.
Yeah, because you're right. Ocean's 11 was like, the original is from around that time. It's
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, exactly. Like the OG one is like from like the 60s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know, or the 50s.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a good connection. That might be something worth looking into.
It was 1960 was the original, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it fits the time frame. You know, it had stewed for a couple years in the public eye. You know, the robbery or the idea. But that's cool.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, I've never actually seen the original.
Yeah,
Rat Pack.
I think that's what's so funny is like the original, the new ones. Are supposed to be a reboot, but they still like, I think, reference the original. I think the whole idea is Danny Ocean is getting out of jail for what he did in the first movie or the original movie.
Okay.
I think that's the idea. And he's like, I've changed. And he's like, you know,
I'm reformed. Let me go immediately plan another heist.
God, just like side note, I thought, like, I get it. Sandra Bullock was his sister and they were trying to be like, oh, they're the same. They really didn't need to do the exact same opening with her as they did.
I did not see.
Did you see it? Oh my God.
Ocean's 11. No.
They literally opened Ocean's 8 with Sandra Bullock, the same spiel as her, like talking to the council, you know, saying, are you reformed? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, yep, absolutely. Totally did wonders on me. Like cut to montage of her like, you know, literally shoplifting, like,
oh my God,
and like scamming these like makeup stores.
Yeah.
Like it was just funny. It's like she shoplifted a bunch of stuff and then acted like she was trying to return it. Ugh. And then like acted like a Karen and was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it. And like walked out. Like nobody.
Smart. I'm always so curious, like how many of those kind of ideas people can actually get away with in real life.
Honestly, cause I like, there was a couple in there that I definitely felt plausible, especially in that opening scene, like the Sandra Bullock bit, like I just described, like when, like watching her do it, I'm like, yeah, I feel like somebody could try and pull that and it would work, you know? Yeah.
Cause there's people who are like professional pit pockets and stuff there. Like you can be real sly.
You should watch, it's definitely drama, like dramatized and over the top, but the movie Focus. It's Will Smith and Margot Robbie. It was the first movie with Margot Robbie I actually saw. I saw it like randomly on a plane. But it's all about con artists, and Will Smith and Margot Robbie are con artists, and they like bump into each other. And it's like, yeah. And
it's, oh, it's, Yeah. I feel like I know what you're talking about.
It's for a movie that I like, swear to God, I feel like I never hear anybody talk about. I really enjoy it.
Nice. I've been trying to practice Akitas, like my friend.
Oh, yeah.
He really likes the voice that Margot Robbie does in The Wolf of Wall Street.
So yeah, I've been trying
to like practice it.
The, like over the top Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. There's gonna be nothing but short.
You should totally send Kiedis the video of back when that movie was coming out. She was in an interview at some talk show, right? And they were asking her, like, how do you do the voice? Because like I'm sitting here talking to you and you sound so Australian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she basically, like, she did her whole little, like, how she gets into the character, right? And mm-hmm. she's like, well, I just, like, pretend I'm, like, going out to get nails with the girls, you know? And then she basically acted like she's getting a manicure. And then just starts talking like this Brooklyn, like, it was so funny, you know? It's just, she's like, I don't know why, but it's like, that's where my headspace needs to start in order to get the voice going, you know?
This is who I am when I'm using this voice. Like,
yeah, I love it. It's great. But before we get to the end of our show, we got two more songs for you guys, and then we're going to hit you with an ad break. Songs. Yeah, we got a Pavement, which, so Pavement's the artist. I was looking at this, the way this is set up. So we got Pavement. It's the song is Be the Hook, which, seems cool. I was listening to them while I was downloading them. And
they just released.
Then we got Fountains DC, Jackie Down the Line?
Yeah, I think it's Fontaines DC.
Oh, Fontaines. Oh, not Fountains.
I don't know exactly how it's supposed to be said. But yeah, also a new song by them.
All right. So this is Be the Hook by Pavement and Fontaines DC. Jackie Down the Line. So we're going to hit you with that. And then we'll be back for our end of Working Title. Don't touch that dial.